to have to go through that. So I'm meeting with President Xi, and I would say the first, we have some big issues, like with the farmers and various other things, but the first question I'm going to be asking him about is fentanyl. And if you think about it, they make $100 million. Think of this. They make $100 million selling fentanyl into our country, $100 million. They lose $100 billion with the 20% tariff. So it's not a good business proposition. It's $100 billion approximately that they have to pay. It's a big penalty to make $100 million. So I think they want to do something. They want to put it on the list. It's on the list. It's one of the things we're talking about, and I'm putting it right at the front of the list. So they pay a very big penalty for doing that, and I don't think they want to be doing it. And we'll see what happens at the end of next week, because I'll be meeting next week, as you know, along with we're stopping in Malaysia, we're stopping in South Korea, we're stopping in Japan. I'm meeting with President Xi, actually, in South Korea. So it'll be the first thing on the list. Yeah, please.
On the drug boats, sir, has there been any discussion about capturing one so that you can show the
well,
amount
we know
of narcotics?
Everything about them, yeah, yeah, Jennifer. We know everything about them. We know where they're coming from, who they're coming with, generally who's in the boat. I'll let Pete discuss it a little bit, but they have incredible intelligence. And, you know, usually when you see five engines, I've never even seen that before, but when you see five engines on a boat going about 65 miles an hour, loaded up with white powder in silver cases, generally speaking, that's not a good sign. They're not going fishing, right? And you don't see any fishing rods, right? So, Pete, I'll let you discuss that a little bit, please.
Well, yes, sir. Likewise, generally, you don't see fishing in submarines either, sir. So this, the U.S. military, as I mentioned, nobody better in the world at mapping networks, identifying who's connected to who inside terrorist organizations. It's just the media is used to hearing that when it pertains to Afghanistan and Iraq and ISIS and Al-Qaeda. But if you reframe how you understand the world in our own hemisphere, that's exactly what these foreign terrorist organizations are. And so we will track them, we will map them, we will network them, and we will hunt them and kill them because they're trying to and they are killing and poisoning the American people. And inside that, we have all the license necessary, all the authorities necessary to take these kinetic strikes, and we'll continue to take them.
And we've been, you know, just to add, because I think it's important, we've been capturing them for years. You know, it's not like, gee, let's capture one. We've been doing that for years, for 25 years we've been doing it, not at a level like we're doing it now, I mean, just with the hits we're hitting, but we have much more intensity than any administration's ever had. But we've been capturing these boats for years, and they get back into the system, and they do it again and again and again, and they don't fear that. They have no fear. The thing I can tell you right now, it's very hard to find any floating vessel right now on the Pacific or in the Gulf, and I would like to call it by its official name, the Gulf of America, another little triumph of the Trump administration. I said for years, I said, why do we call it the Gulf of Mexico? It's 93%. The shoreline is 93% ours. I never understood that. So I made that change. I never realized how easy that was going to be, other than, I guess, AP. AP fought us in court, and the judge said, but that's the name. And actually, they were sort of semi-prohibited from even covering us after that. It was pretty amazing. But we have the Gulf of America, and there are very few boats, very, very few boats, not even fishing boats, to be honest. I don't want to do that to the fishing industry, but it's been so effective. And our sea drugs, as they call them, they use the term sea drugs, the drugs coming in by sea, are like 5% of what they were a year ago, less than 5%. So now they're coming in by land, and even the land is concerned because I told them that's going to be next. You know, the land is going to be next. And we may go to the Senate, we may go to the, you know, Congress and tell them about it, but I can't imagine they'd have any problem with it. I think, in fact, while we're here, I think it's a good idea, Pete. You go to Congress, you tell them about it. What are they going to do? Say, gee, we don't want to stop drugs pouring in. They're killing 300,000 people a year. I think that's the real number, 300,000 people a year. So between that and my discussion with President Xi, I think we have never made progress like we've made. The sea drugs are almost dead. and they can't come in that fast from the land. And the land drugs are much more dangerous for them. It's going to be much more dangerous. You'll be seeing that soon. So that's the way it is. Yeah. Go ahead, please. Yeah, go ahead, please. With the glasses. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good. I wanted to ask, what's your reaction to Representative Dan Goldman calling on NYPD to arrest ICE agents who he says are acting illegally? He says they are illegally assaulting people and illegally detaining people at immigration courts in New York.
Well, you know, I know Dan, and Dan's a loser. You understand. He's a guy that doesn't have what it takes. He's been trying so hard, and they're exhausted. I mean, it's so ridiculous, right? A suggestion like that. So, you know, they're just trying so hard, and it's not working. They've even now started imitating me, of all people. They want to imitate me, and they start using foul language, but they use too much of it. You know, you can't use the F word 7 times in one sentence. It doesn't work. It might work once every 7 news conferences, but you can't do it. You can't do it 7 times in one sentence. So, I don't know. They're really in big trouble, that party. Go ahead.
Mr. President.
Some alleged smugglers have survived some of these recent strikes and been sent back to their home country. If they're terrorists, why not just arrest and detain them?
Go ahead.
2 points on that. First, when I served in Iraq in 2005 and 2006, we used to, in sort of a gallows humor way, talk about the Iraqi catch and release program, the reality that we would catch a lot of people, hand them over, and then they would be recycled back through, and we'd have to recapture them or attack them again. And that's why changing the dynamic and actually taking kinetic strikes on these boats ought change the psychology of these foreign terrorist organizations. To those 2 that survived the shot on the semi-submersible, think again, compared to Iraq and Afghanistan, the vast majority of people that we captured on the battlefield, we handed over to the home country. Did we always like how it shaped out? Sometimes we did, sometimes we did not. But 99% would go to the Afghan authorities or the Iraqi authorities. So in this case, those 2, they were treated by American medics and handed immediately over to their countries where they came from, hopefully to face prosecution, which is a very standard way of handling something like this.
And you'll do that with future survivors, anyone else who survived?
We've got protocol of how we'll handle it.
Not that guy, he's so hopeless. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yesterday there was a vote at the Knesset on annexing the West Bank. Do you see it as a challenge to your peace efforts?
Could you say that louder, please?
Yes, yesterday there was a vote at the Knesset in Israel on annexing the West Bank. Do you see it as a challenge to your peace efforts?
Will you answer that, please? Because I cannot understand the words you're saying. Where are you from? Where are you from?
I'm from France.
You're from France. Beautiful accent, but we can't understand what you're saying.
She said a vote at the Knesset on the West Bank.
The West Bank?
Yes.
Don't worry about the West Bank. Israel's not going to do anything with the West Bank, okay? Don't worry about it. Is that your question? They're not going to do anything with the West Bank. Don't worry about it. Israel's doing very well. They're not going to do anything with it. Yeah, please,
Mr. President. Thank you so much. Thank you, President Trump. Are there any safeguards in place to protect Americans from fentanyl and cartels when you leave office in 2028? Any protocols that could be put in place in case a future administration comes in that wants open borders? And I also have a question for the Secretary of War as well after your answer.
Well, the biggest thing we can do is make sure they don't come in. Because open borders, they would destroy. It's amazing that our country is even surviving with what we went through, coming in by the millions and coming in from the wrong places. You know, I know all these people that run these countries, and they're smart. They're very street smart, and they're not sending their best, you know. They're not sending best. They're taking them out of their prisons and their mental institutions, as I say, over and over again. They're the drug dealers. They're the drug addicts. They're people that don't work. I mean, the best of them are people that don't work. They don't work. They're on welfare, their form of welfare, which is tiny. You know what their form of welfare? They give you a piece of paper. They give you nothing. But they want people that work. They don't let those people come out because they want those people. You know, they cherish those people. Those are the people that make their country run. They give us all of the people that don't work and are murderers. 11,843 murderers came in. 11,800, many of them committed, more than 50% committed more than one murder. Now, why do we want them? Why would Biden and that group of thugs that he had working for him, why would they accept these people? Why would he accept? Nobody understands it. You know, they say maybe they wanted the vote, but I did great with the Hispanic vote, but these are people from all over the world. Why would they do it? So one question, no matter what I do, I can't, you always like to know the opponent. You have an opponent. What are they getting at? And usually you can. Why would they allow 20 million, maybe 25 million people into this country, almost all of which, but most of which should not have been allowed into our country? It's one of the great enigmas. What they've done to this country should never be forgotten. In history, should never, ever be forgotten. And now it looks like we're going to have a communist mayor in New York. That'll be a lot of fun. But remember this, they have to go through the White House. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Founder of Binance. Can you explain why you chose to pardon him? And did it have anything to do with his involvement in
which
your family's?
Which one? Who is that?
The founder of Binance. He has involvement in your own family's crypto business.
The recent one, yes. The, I believe we're talking about the same person, because I do pardon a lot of people. I don't know. He was recommended by a lot of people. A lot of people say that, are you talking about the crypto person?
Yes.
A lot of people say that he wasn't guilty of anything. He served 4 months in jail, and they say that he was not guilty of anything, that what he did, well, you don't know much about crypto. You know nothing about, you know nothing about nothing, you fake news. But let me just tell you that he was somebody that, as I was told, I don't know him. I don't believe I've ever met him. But I've been told by a lot of support. He had a lot of support. And they said that what he did is not even a crime. It wasn't a crime, that he was persecuted by the Biden administration. And so I gave him a pardon at the request of a lot of very good people.
Mr. President.
Yeah, please. Yes, Daniel.
President, thank you so much.
This is the kind of question I like.
Yeah,
right?
The numbers from this task force are jaw-dropping. I wanted to know, this is a question for you and both Stephen, since it was said this is your brainchild. What are the lessons to be learned from the success of the task force, and what are your continued goals with this task force now that you have about 3 years left?
Well, the best thing we have going is we have such talent around this table. I could go over every one of these men and women, and we have unbelievable talent. They've got the naturals, you know, like somebody that hits a baseball or a golf ball or a, you know, that you see more, it's more evident. It's beautiful because it's sports. You can tell somebody right away, are they good or are they not? These people are the most talented people at what they do. And when we started talking about this, Stephen and all of us, it seemed so easy. What is surprising to me is how quickly we can straighten out a large city, a big city, a mean city, a city that's sick, that got very sick with guns all over the place, with bullets shooting all over, where you take your life in your hands if you go out and buy a loaf of bread. That's not America. That's not our country. And those people don't care how you do it. They just want it done. They really do. You know, when you go to the people in the street, they don't know. Is it National Guard? They just want it done. They want to be safe. And we've gained a great following of Americans, real Americans, people that want to be safe. But I think the biggest thing we say is we have tremendous talent. We were able to recognize, like a football team, like a baseball team, we were able to recognize the talent. And the talent is largely in this room for the whole country. It's largely in this room. There's really nothing like it. And that's why I think we had D.C. done, not perfectly, but pretty much done, at least normalized in 12 days. Would you say 12 days? On the 12th day, it felt different. And you know, we took a lot of bad people out, never to come back again. Then most of them never to come back again. But there's great talent, and there's also great courage. I've been watching what goes on. And then you have the radical left lunatics, and what's that all about? I mean, they're fighting us because we want to stop crime. Where do these people come from? They're paid money. I guess they're paid a lot of money. But like I saw that ridiculous march the other day, I say, these people are not representative of our country. And not all of them, of course, but many of them are total lowlifes. These are lowlifes. These are people that are paid agitators, and they're not representative of our country. So, I don't know. I can just tell you that our country has tremendous spirit right now. You know that better than anybody because you cover it well. But we have a lot of people that are very happy right now with the direction. They did a poll the other day. The direction of our country is better than it's been in 37 years. And I'm upset because I think it should be better than that. I actually said we should be better than that. So, you know, thank you very much for your question. Brian? Brian?
Mr. President, yes. Thank you, Mr. President. You guys have done an amazing job in Memphis. Some of those numbers are staggering. And we've gotten message on social media wanting to thank you for that. But I think, can you talk about the number of missing children you guys have discovered in Memphis? That's amazing.
Well, it's hundreds of thousands were lost through Biden and the Biden administration. And we are getting a lot of them back, but they're either dead, they're slaves, they're captured in some form. But think of it, hundreds of thousands we're talking about, not even believable. And they came in through the border, they were sold, they were bargained for, and this was all Biden, meaning Biden and Obama, the same, you know, the same mentality, frankly. I think it's the same mentality. Let me tell you, Barack Hussein Obama was a lousy president. A lot of bad things happened. Remember when they used to talk about Trump with the jail cells? Well, he built the jail cells for the children. He built those jail cells. Remember that came out? But, sir, they were built in 2014. You remember when that came out after me going through that stuff for about 2 weeks, and then they found out it was Barack Obama that built those jail cells. No, these people they were bad leaders. I hope we don't have it again. I hope we don't have it again because, you know, our country's come back a long way, but it can only withstand so much, and we don't want to ever go through that again. We never want to have open borders again. We don't want to have men playing in women's sports. We don't want to have transgender for everybody. We don't want that. We want to have a great country with low interest rates, nice housing, great education, a strong military, the basics. Yes, please.
In last night's New York City mayoral debate, Zohran Mamdani said he would close Rikers Island if elected. What kind of impact would that have on public safety?
Well, it's not good. I guess it's not a very nice place, but you need it. You need something. You have a lot of additional people in New York City that should not have been here. They came here through the open border, through Biden's. You know, I don't know how they even do it. New York City's always been tight for money, and then they spend, you know, $8 billion, and nobody complains about it, on people that just showed up and they just came out of nowhere. Where did they get the money? All of a sudden, they have money. I tell you what. We have to keep our prisons very fair and very safe, but you get a lot of criminals. We have a lot of additional criminals. I used to talk about it. They used to say, well, only good people come in from foreign countries. I said, that's not right. I didn't know that for a fact, but it had just started, right? The open borders and people flowing in by the millions. They make our criminals look like the nicest people on earth. That's the only good thing. They make our criminals look like nice people. They are the meanest, the most vicious. Tren de Aragua, you don't get any sicker. They cut people's fingers off because they called the cop. Did you call the cop? Yes. They cut off his finger so he can't call the cop anymore. And then they say, next time we're going to cut off your hand if you cut, because they took over his apartment in Colorado. You know, Colorado, they took over a town, then they took over another town, and you have a weak governor over there. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing, so he lets it go on. But we're getting them out of here. We're getting them all out. They're going back to lots of, not just Venezuela. They're going back to lots of countries. Venezuela would be one, however. Yeah, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah.
A moment ago, you said that if Secretary Hegseth went to Congress and briefed them on the operations.
No, we will
these,
go, I said.
You will go. And it
we
would
will
be
go.
Difficult for them
go.
To object.
I don't see any loss in going. No reason not to. You know, they'll always complain, oh, we should have gone. So we're going to definitely, I'd like to just tell you, let's go. We'll go.
And Mr.
We're
going
to tell them what we're going to do, and I think they're going to probably like it, except for the radical left lunatics.
And Mr. President, if you are declaring war against these cartels and Congress is likely to approve of that process, why not just ask for a declaration of war?
Well, I don't think we're going to necessarily ask for a declaration of war. I think we're just going to kill people that are bringing drugs into our country. Okay? We're going to kill them. You know? They're going to be, like, dead. Okay?
Mr. President.
Yeah.
Mr. President.
Yes, red hair.
Thank you.
Beautiful red hair.
Thank you. I'll tell my hairdresser that. She'll love it. This is a question for both you and the Secretary of War, Mr. Hegseth.
Who are you with?
I'm with the Center Square. We're a newswire service. With everything that's going on between the narco-terrorists in the Caribbean and then also with more Chinese, Iranian, Russian ships also taking part in Venezuela, are you have any plans of expanding operations out of Roosevelt Roads and, in fact, placing some home porting some ships there?
Yeah, go ahead, Pete.
We're familiar with the location that you're referring to, and we will make sure that we're properly displaced in order to deal with the contingency we're dealing with there, and also any ways in which other countries would attempt to be involved also. So we can walk and chew gum. We're definitely keeping our eyes on near peer adversaries at the same time, but we think sending a message on these cartels, these narco-terrorists, is an important inside our hemisphere, which for far too long, other presidents, as the president pointed out, they've ignored our own backyard and allowed other countries to increase their influence here, which only threatens the American people. We're changing that.
One big thing that has happened, though, because you mentioned expansion and expand our efforts. So when I was running for office, second term, everybody was talking about the fact that nobody wanted to join the military, nobody wanted to join the great police force. They didn't want to join New York's finest or any of our police forces. They didn't want to join anything having to do almost like with the country, with the uniform. We are setting records with the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Space Force, Coast Guard. We're setting records. We've never had anything like it. And I'll tell you when it started, November 5th. We didn't even have to wait till January 20th. They saw spirit. And now we have people coming in that are, it's unbelievable. And if we wanted to increase our military force, if we wanted to increase any one of these, including police forces, they can now get men. People didn't want to be policemen and women. They didn't want to be firemen and women. They didn't want to go into the military. We were having tremendous recruiting problems, and now we're setting records. We literally, last year at this time, you were doing stories that the recruitment was a disaster. We couldn't get men and women to go into the military. Now we have such an overabundance. We've never had, it's, as I understand it, it's like record-setting recruitment. This is in less than a year. It's been amazing. So this is a good time to expand if we want to do it. And I think we should. I think we should. And we probably will. Yeah, please. Yeah. Blue.
A couple questions for you. First for you and Secretary Hegseth. Is the administration supportive of sending National Guardsmen to cities for the express purpose of aiding deportation and immigration enforcement efforts?
To expand deportation efforts?
Sending National Guardsmen to U.S. cities for the express purpose of aiding deportation and immigration enforcement.
What we've done so far is stand alongside federal law enforcement in every way, facilities and personnel, but also we have a great deal of lift inside the military. We're able to move assets in a way that no other aspect of the U.S. government can. And so where we can rapidly assist with mass deportations, we have been happy to do that.
And then one more question, if I may. Is the administration at all supportive of potential measures to crack down or regulate or even ban apps that track ICE agents' locations?
What do you mean by that?
Like specific apps that are used to track the location of ICE agents.
I guess we'll do that. I'm not a big app guy. I'm not into that too much. I think Pam might be it. Let's go.
Yes.
Good answer there.
Yes. These organizations, President Trump, are coming in and their apps to track our federal law enforcement officers, and it jeopardizes their lives, where they're going to be, their location. And we've actually been working really well with the tech companies who have been cooperating because they don't want our law enforcement officers to get injured. So, yes.
Well, I mean, I see it with ICE where they're having, where they define where they live, who they are. Mm-hmm. And, I didn't have a big view on the mask, but I now understand why they should wear masks. I think it's very dangerous for them not to wear masks. They can do whatever they want. I noticed some do it and some don't, but it's pretty dangerous. But when you look at, you talk about that question, I think it's very dangerous, and I think you're coming down on that very hard, right?
Yeah, please. Sir, Mr. President.
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. When you were running for re-election in 2024, you released a video statement where you did this, you made this exact promise to show no mercy on the cartels and employ every military asset necessary to combat them. In that same video, you also said that you plan to expose all the bribes and corruptions with politicians and the cartels.
We're doing that. Yeah, we're trying to do that.
Has your task force looking into that in American politicians?
Yeah, where the money's coming from. Because you see it. Like, even that garbage deal they had this weekend, which was embarrassing to them, and the crowds were much more, the crowds were not big. Those crowds were not big at all. But when you look at signs, and they're all made beautifully, the yellow signs, I saw the yellows, the blues, but they're all made professionally in a printing shop, looks like on Madison Avenue someplace. Some guy is paying for all that stuff. And we don't mind protest. Protest is a good thing. I protest. I'm always protesting, right? But when you see some of these people are going crazy. They're going crazy because they're getting paid. Because there's no reason for them to be going crazy. But you watch some of them, and they're professional agitators. And we are finding out who's paying them. Yeah, we have a lot of information about who they are. You're going to be very surprised when you find out.
I have a question for Secretary Hegseth. Sir, a memo circulating on social media details the establishment of a National Guard response force that's going to be trained in crowd control and civil unrest and deployed in all 50 states by April of 2026. Can you verify the authenticity of that memo, and do you have any more information on the operations?
I'm not going to answer particulars on something that may be in the planning process, but we definitely do have multiple layers of National Guard response forces, whether it's in each state, whether it's regionally, whether it's Title 10 active duty, whether it's Washington, D.C. We've got a lot of different ways that constitutionally and legally we can employ Title 10 and Title 32 forces, and we will do so when necessary.
President Putin basically said today that Russia is immune from U.S. sanctions. He said that it would not impact the Russian economy in any serious way. Is he
good.
Wrong?
I'm glad he feels that way. That's good. I'll let you know about it in 6 months from now. Okay, let's see how it all works out. Yeah. Go ahead, please. Blue.
One about the shutdown. I'm Taylor Poplars with Spectrum News. The same day you established this task force back on January 20th was the same day you pardoned the January 6th defendants.
Yeah, very proud of that. Yeah.
Just last weekend, one of them was charged with allegedly threatening to kill House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. And a big theme of this task force has been allowing law enforcement to do their job and holding accountable people who go after law enforcement. Do you worry that your actions back on day one undermine what this task force is trying to accomplish?
No. You have thousands of people that we're dealing with. And, you know, if one goes haywire, look at what this guy in Virginia said, where he wanted to kill his opponent. He's going to kill his opponent's children and, I think, wife. And he continues to run. And the Democrats continue. He's running for, what, attorney general in Virginia? Look what he said. So now, do you think all Democrats should be prohibited from living anymore? I mean, think of what he said. He's going to kill his opponent, and he's going to kill the children of his opponent, and I think the wife. I said, this guy's sick. That is a sick guy. And how do you vote for somebody like that? But I don't view that every Democrat would say that, because not every Democrat would say that. So you can't, you know, you could have one person, but I don't know of the incident. I can say we're very proud of what we did. We had the courage to do something that should have been done. The problem sometimes, the Republicans are too nice. They're a very nice party. The Democrats play a much dirtier fight. You know, it's amazing. You go after dirty cops like Comey, and you go after, these are dirty cops. Letitia James is a dirty cop. You go after these people, and they say how horrible you are, and yet I got indicted 5 times and impeached twice. Nobody says anything about that. You know, they say, oh, they actually said the other day, oh, he's trying to indict somebody. I got indicted 4 or 5 times, Todd, maybe more than that. Yeah, I think you could say 87 times if you really think about it, right, with the charges, a bunch of phony guys. But nobody says anything about that. But they mentioned it the other way. No, the Democrats play a very dirty game. It's all they're good at. They're good at a couple of things, cheating on elections and playing very dirty. And they have one good trait. They stick together. They stick together. They stick together through the worst policies that anybody's ever seen. It's unbelievable how they stick together. And I respect them for sticking together, but it's a dead party because their policies are no good. Okay. Brian, we'll do a few more and we'll go home.
Wonderful. Speaking
Everybody's going to go home. I'm going back to the Oval Office, however.
Speaking of Democrats, there's a report that there's a grand jury on Adam Schiff for apparent mortgage fraud. If he isn't indicted, should he step down as a U.S. senator?
Well, you know, I'm not going to comment on that. I would just say Adam Schiff is one of the lowest forms of scum I've ever dealt with in politics. He's a horrible human being, very dishonest person. I have no idea what's going on. You tell me that he's going to be indicted. I don't know. You could ask Pam. I don't know if she could say it. Probably you are allowed to say it, but I wouldn't know about that. I can only tell you he's a very bad, I think he's actually a sick person. Do you want to talk about that?
We're not going to comment on any grand jury that's open. We can't legally.
I don't know. By the way, I hope it's true, but I don't know anything about it. Yeah, please. Oh, millions of dollars. Yeah. Well, I also give, you know, I give a lot of money to the White House. The White House is, as you know, I give my salary, and I usually like to steer to the White House because this house was a little bit abandoned. First of all, for 4 years, you had a guy walking around that didn't know where the hell he was. And this house was not taken care of the way it was supposed to be. I take very good care of property. I was very good at that. And you'll notice the floors downstairs. I paid for them. Marble, the most beautiful marble you've ever seen. The white floors down in the Palm Room, which were, they look like they came out of, I don't want to lose because they're big supporters of mine, Home Depot. So I'm not going to say bad, but they did come out of a box from Home Depot about 30 years ago. They were all broken. But now they have the most beautiful floors, the most beautiful lights and chandeliers. I think most of you, Brian, you've seen that, right?
Yes, sir.
How beautiful is that? And I take care of it. So I spend millions of dollars on this building, taking care of it. It was not properly maintained, and now it's starting to gleam like it should. It should really gleam, and you should go down and visit the Presidential Walk of Fame. Have you seen it? It's quite good. I'm sure that a lot of people coming to the White House, it's hot. It's very hot, but it's really a tribute to the presidents, past presidents of our country. Yeah, please.
Mr. President.
Yeah, behind you, please. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. So on Monday, a question for you as well as Secretary Noem. On Monday, Mayor Karen Bass, valet, and Representative Robert Garcia, they held a press conference and they called for an investigation into DHS, accusing them of unlawfully arresting U.S. citizens and racially profiling and only arresting people because, in Robert Garcia's words, they look like me. He's a Hispanic individual. Do you have a response to that?
Are you asking me that question?
You as they, well as they are Secretary arresting, Noem.
They are arresting bad criminals, and they're really good at it, too. I look at the numbers, you know, they always like to say that, oh, you're arresting this and that. Then when you check it, you find out, geez, almost every single time, and, you know, obviously every once in a while they may get one wrong, but they always correct it. They're able to correct it. But they are arresting really bad people. They're arresting people that kill, people that would cut your throat and not even care about it. These are brave people, and it's very dangerous. And if they go even a little bit too far, they get into trouble, you know, which is a shame. I protect them, but they get into trouble. But they're arresting very serious criminals, and they're getting them out of here. Okay, one or two more. Doug, do you have a question? I'd love to have Doug have a question, our great photographer, because he's such a great guy, and he might be the most talented person over there. I don't know. Huh? Go ahead. Let's hear your question. This guy's a real beauty.
On the cartel strategy, hearing you talk about it as a war, hearing Secretary Hegseth talk about defeating and destroying and the comparisons to ISIS and al-Qaeda, those efforts took American troops being engaged in foreign countries. Do you think that's ultimately where this is headed with the cartels, having American troops in countries like Venezuela?
No, the cartels are very bad. They have a lot of bad people coming in. They were interviewed recently, and they were asking people what their problem was, and one guy said, yes, I'm up for murder. didn't know what he was saying, obviously. You know, I'm sure his lawyer was not thrilled with his statement. But, no, there are rough people coming into those cartels. Those cartels are rough. You look at what happens, the trip up is horrible, especially for women. They're being killed, they're being raped at levels that nobody thought even possible. In my opening speech, I mentioned that, but in a very light way. I mentioned the word rape. Then I found out that you take a look at what happens in those cartels. It's horrible what's going on. And we're doing the world a big service by just telling them, you know, you don't have too many cartels now because they know when they get up here, they're going to be stopped. Under Biden, they were just flowing into the country. It didn't matter what you were, where you came from, what you looked like, what your record. They didn't check records. Millions of people came into this country that should not be in our country right now. We've gotten a lot of them out. It's the single biggest problem that we were given. Inflation I've already taken care of. Economically, the country is the strongest it's ever been. Thank God for tariffs. If we didn't have tariffs, we'd be a third world nation. But thank God for tariffs. We're the richest nation in the world now because of tariffs. And we're able to economically protect ourselves, and we're able to really protect ourselves from a national security, you know, situation. But we have cartels that, you know, somebody came up with the word cartel. I won't tell you who that person was, but you got a lot of bad people in the cartels. And you could look at a country like Mexico, and I really respect the president. I really respect a lot of the people over there, but a lot of the leadership. But they are in fear in their own country, because those cartels are running those countries, okay? And that includes Colombia. Colombia is a drug den. It's a drug den, and it has been for a long time. You got a lousy leader over there right now, bad guy, a thug. But they make cocaine at levels that we've never seen before, and they sell it back into this, and they're not going to get away with it much longer. We're not going to put up with it much longer. Colombia is very bad. Mexico is run by the cartels. I have great respect for the president, a woman that I think is a tremendous woman. She's a very brave woman. But Mexico is run by the cartels, and we have to defend ourselves from that. Go ahead. Let's go with you. Go ahead. Let's listen to this beauty.
Do you expect a resolution on the government shutdown by the time you return from your trip to Asia?
Do I expect to have it resolved by the time I return? I don't know. I said long ago, we shouldn't have been in this problem. This was September 28th. It came due in Biden's regime and before the election, September 28th, and they pushed it off into the future. And I was running when they did that. And when you're running, you know, but I did say, what the hell are they doing? That and debt ceiling. You know, they also pushed the debt ceiling past the election date. So that would mean the next president has it. But I did say that I think the Democrats have gone totally crazy, and you don't know what they're going to do because they don't care about the people. They don't. I really think they have no leadership. They have a lot of very low IQ people. Jasmine Crockett is a low IQ person. A lot of them are. I don't want to insult too many of them, but a lot of them are. They have no rudder. I don't think they know what they're doing right now. You know, they've never done this before. They always agreed to go and, you know, called an extension. Let's do an extension and talk. Even today, look at what happened today. They don't want to pay the people that have worked. And, you know, this was supposed to be this was a test. And they wouldn't pay the people that have been working. They said, no, we don't want to pay them. This is all the Democrats. Now, all we need is five Democrats. And I know a lot of Democrats that are sane. They're more than five. Probably not that many more than five, but there are more than five. And all we need is like five Democrat votes so we open our country again. Sad, though, we have the greatest economy in our history. We have the highest stock market. All these things are rocking. We will have by the end of my first year more than $20 trillion of investment. The all-time record is $3 trillion. I think it's China. We're going to have $20 or $21 trillion. We've never had anything like it coming in because of tariffs, the money pouring into our country, the plants that are opening, AI, automobiles, everything. And the Democrats want to close our country. They're really, you know, they say deranged. They suffer. I guess it's Trump derangement syndrome, which I think is going down now as an official condition by the doctors. I think they get paid extra money if they handle it, because it's more difficult to handle than a normal mental disease. But you know what? They really should approve an extension, get the country back to work, get the people paid. And, you know, it's very simple. You just don't know what's going on. There's something wrong with them. You know, it's sad, actually.
Have you raised the full $300 million needed to fund your ballroom? And how much specifically are you donating
actually,
to this construction
project? Actually, I think $350 million. All donor money and money that we put up, we've raised. It's going to cost right in the neighborhood of $300 million. It's been expanded and made absolutely. It'll be the most beautiful ballroom anywhere in the world, I think.
And how much specifically are you donating to it, personally?
How much am I donating? I won't be able to tell you until I finish, but I'll donate whatever's needed. I'll tell you that. Do I have a name for the? I won't get into that now. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Go without their first full paychecks, federal workers.
By the way, a friend of mine, talking about donors, that's great. I'm not going to use his name unless he lets me do it. Susie can tell you about this, but he called us the other day and he said, I'd like to contribute any shortfall you have because of the Democrat shutdown. I'd like to personally contribute any shortfall you have with the military. Because I love the military and I love the country, and any shortfall, if there's a shortfall, I'll contribute it. And today he sent us a check for $130 million.
Can you share who that
is? I would love to tell you. He doesn't really want the recognition, if you want to know the truth. But he gave us a check for $130 million,
and that's going to go to
which was sort of a shortfall, yeah. That's going to go to the military, yeah. Is that the correct number? $130 million. That's what I call a patriot. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Another day in America.